Join with me, Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll be with us tonight as we study your word and as we study these names that are full of such power, the power of a name. I don't know that many Christians understand the power that is in all of these names and what it means and what it explains and what it helps us to understand. The appreciation it brings to our understanding of you. Lord, it's my goal that when we leave here tonight, we have a greater understanding of your greatness through understanding your names and what they mean. Help us to grasp it. Help us to get it. Help us to use it in our prayer life so our prayer life may be empowered and enhanced. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, Lord, Jehovah, Savior, Messiah, Christ, Alpha, Omega, Good Shepherd, Chief Shepherd, Nazarene, Lamb, the Resurrected, the Sacrifice, the Propitiation, the Atonement, the Prince of Peace, Counselor, Mediator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the beginning and the end, the Word, the Light, the Carpenter, the Lamb that was slain and yet liveth, the Resurrected, the Almighty, the second person of the Trinity, the I Am, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Answer, the Bread of Life, the Anointed One, Light of the World, New Adam, Emmanuel, Adonai, Sweet Rose of Sharon, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Cornerstone of the Church, the Husbandman, the Vine, the Amen, the Arm of the Lord, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the Beloved Son, the Blessed and Only Potentate, the Branch, the Consolation of Israel, Redeemer, Creator, Dayspring, Deliverer, the Door, the Way, the Truth, the Life, the First Begotten of the Dead, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth, the Elect of God, Faithful Witness, First Begotten, the Only Begotten Son, the High Priest, the Angel of God, the Head of the Church, Holy Child, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel, the Horn of Salvation, Image of God, Jah, Jesus of Nazareth, Judge of Israel, the Just One, King of the Jews, King of the Ages, Wonderful, Mighty God, Lawgiver, Teacher and Commander, Lord of Glory, Man of Sorrows, Mighty One, Prince of Life, Redeemer, the Resurrection and the Life, Seed of Woman, Bishop of Souls, Son of the Highest, Son of Righteousness, the Word of God, the name that is unknown, Father, God, the true light. And I could go on and on, giving you 1/7 of the names that pertain to God or Jesus in that book. Most people have 3 or 4, maybe 5 titles that could be applied to them. They could be referred to as Mr. Some cases, coach or doctor. Some cases, pastor. Some cases, boss. Some cases, dad, mom. In some cases, brother, sister, son, daughter. 5 or 6 things would pretty much wrap up who we are and what we do and what we mean to the people in the world. Yet they say there's over 700 such names, titles, and descriptions attached to the person of Jesus. That's outstanding by anybody's measurement of what outstanding would be. There's so much power in a name, and there's so much power in the name of Jesus. So much power that the Bible says that every man will one day bow at the name of Jesus. I want to give you quickly tonight, as quickly as I possibly can, and I'm not going to make a ton of commentary with each point, just giving you raw information as we move through it. Hopefully you'll have a good pen or a pencil and be able to keep up. Get this information, and I'll explain to you why this information is so important as we go through this. This will help your life. This is not trivial stuff I'm about to give you. There is power in prayer. And we pray in the name of whom? Jesus. We pray through the name of Jesus. We understand, though, that there are names for Jesus, and titles, and things that connect. And you learn this, and you apply it, it will help your prayer life go to a new level of intimacy with the Lord, and you'll find a new level of prayers being answered and power flowing through your prayers when you grasp what I'm going to give you tonight. I'm going to give you 36 names of God that we should understand and know. Now, there's no way you would remember these if I just gave them out. I just gave you, I think, 96 names of Christ. If I were to ask you to repeat those, it'd be hard for you to recall all 96 of them. I ran through them quickly. Some of you naturally know them as students of the Bible. If I just ran through this, it would be impossible to remember. But I've given you a worksheet so that you can take these notes, so that you can begin to put this into practice using a cheat sheet at first until it becomes more natural for you. But I'll explain that in a minute. You may ask, why do we need to know all of this? Why do we need to know the 36 names of God? How many of you ever had that argument with your teacher? Miss Betty, how many times have kids argued with you and asked the question, why do we need to know this? Has that ever come up? It comes up often, I bet. Why do we need to know this? Well, you would not teach it if there wasn't importance to it. They wouldn't require it to be taught. There wasn't an application beyond just simply being an engineer or a person of math. There are reasons you need to know it. There are more than what meets the eye in the reasons that you need to know it. There's reasons you need to know this, and it's not trivial information. Now, you may ask, why do we need to know this? Let me give you 3 quick reasons. Number one, this will enhance our prayer power as we invoke the power of praise and the emotional strings that tug on the Lord's heart through the use of these names. I don't have time to develop this, but we do know that when the Jews were traveling through the wilderness, they worshiped in what was called a what? There was the temple that came later, but what predated the temple they worshiped in? The tabernacle. The tabernacle was a big tent-type structure. They took it down and they reconstructed it as they were a nomadic people. They traveled, they moved around. They didn't stay anywhere very long. Now, if you would have seen it as a bird flying over it, the way that they were to construct the camp, every time they set up camp, the birds, they're coming for us. I knew it would happen at some point. You know, it's funny, we watched that movie. Adriana had not seen The Birds, old Alfred Hitchcock. We watched that last night. Well, we got the birds. Now she's happy that Daddy shoots a lot of birds, you know, bird hunting. She's, kill them all, Dad, kill them all. Amen. That tabernacle, though, when they would strike it, it was at the heart of it all. They would put the tribes around it. Each tribe had purposes and things that were assigned to them as they were traveling through the wilderness. If you were flying over it, the structure looked like a cross. It literally would look like a giant cross out in the middle of the wilderness. It was an amazing thing, not an accidental thing. It was by design. But at the heart of that, at the center of the cross would have been the tabernacle. Now, there was tribes that were assigned different things that meant different things. Now, the front door of the tabernacle and the exit of the tabernacle was taken care of by one particular tribe. They were assigned to take care of the entrance and the exit of the tabernacle. Now, in the tabernacle, there was this place called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. No one was allowed into that inner chamber except the priest, the high priest. Man, it was so serious and a lot of preparation. They literally had to tie a rope around this guy in case he got in there and displeased God and God struck him dead. They could at least pull. They weren't allowed to go in there to even get him. They had to have a way to extract him. Whew, that's a lot of pressure. I'd hate to have a rope tied to me when I walk into the pulpit every week so y'all could pull me off the holy ground there. It was serious stuff. Now, that entrance and that exit that led into what was considered to be the very presence or dwelling place of God. Guess which tribe guarded that entrance and that exit and tended to it? Judah. Judah's, the name means praise. From that, we understand when Jesus taught on prayer, by the way, it's the only topic that the disciples ever specifically said, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? There's no other topic. They never asked him, Lord, teach us how to preach. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There we see praise, the entrance door into the presence of God. When he exited his prayer, he ended it by praising God. So you see there again, entering into the presence of God, you do it through praise. How do you exit the enter his courts with thanksgiving, Bible says. Enter his courts with praise. You enter in and you exit praising the name of God. Boy, I tell you, we learn these things, it'll help us and it will enhance our ability to praise God in our prayer life, which puts us in the presence of God. The Word of God says that God inhabits praise. And we see that we need to learn these names because it will enhance our ability to praise the Lord. You know, people respond differently to different titles and authorities. I mean, Brother Mike West, you are sometimes referred to as Mr. West. And that will draw your attention. If somebody says, Mr. West, I'm sure you'll look. But you're probably referred to sometimes as Daddy. You have four adult children, but I imagine when one of them calls and you hear on the other line, Daddy, that pulls on you different, doesn't it? And if it's Kristen, you probably hang up, but and I'll tell you what probably pulls on your heart even more. Grandpa? Papa? What do you go by? Poppy. Poppy? Somebody said if I'd have known grandkids were so much fun, I'd have sure had them first. And I imagine that pulls on your heart a little different, doesn't it? And you probably have some other names you've been called. And I imagine there's the name, I imagine your wife has names. It may be Honey or Baby Doll or Honey Bear, Huggy Bear, I don't know. And we don't want to know. We don't want to know. But those names pull on you differently. They pull on you differently. And I'm a man that has some different titles that I'm referred to as with work and just relationships. But I'll tell you, if, you know, when I hear Daddy, that pulls on my heart and my ear a little harder. Springs me into a little stronger action. Well, people respond differently to different titles and authority recognitions. And God is no different. Number two, and why do you need to know all this? This will help us to understand the greatness, the powers and natures of our Heavenly Father. And those are important things for us to understand to get the most out of Him. Number three, it brings us into a closer relationship with our Lord. And you know, that can't be a bad thing. Closer you are to the Lord, the more powerful you will be spiritually, the greater victory you'll have over sin. What does the Bible say? We draw near to the devil. What does the devil do? I mean, we draw near to God. What does the devil do? The devil likes it. We draw near to him. That's what he does. No, we draw near to God, the devil flees. The closer we are to God, the greater our spiritual victory, the greater our relationship with the Lord is. And I know that this can't be a bad thing. So let's look at these important names and titles. Get ready to write, because I'm going to go quickly. I'm watching the clock. I promise you I'm going to stop at 10 till. Brother Dave, you be ready at 10 till. Come up here and take these prayer requests. I got how much time, Christy? Just because you're the queen. Hey, I got something for you. Don't leave. I got something I'm supposed to give to you. It's in my office. It's not parked outside, but it is in my office. Don't get too excited. Don't get too carried away here. I do have what I promised you the night. We didn't have it when you won the queen, but I was so happy for you. I'm sure you wear that around the house, your crown. All the time, all the time. All right, here we go. Y'all ready to write? Now, I covered a little bit of this last week. We're going to go a little deeper tonight. Jehovah, number one, Jehovah. Jehovah means the Lord. Write it down. And it's a name for the person of Jesus in the Hebrew language. The name is built upon with many attributes of Jesus, as we will see in many of the next names that are coming up. Jehovah will be the root of those descriptions, but it simply means the Lord. And in the Old Testament Hebrew language, it was a reference to the person of Jesus. Jesus had not been born yet in the manger there in Bethlehem, but in the Old Testament, things were pointing toward Jesus. They definitely had an understanding that there would be a person like Jesus in the Godhead, and the name Jehovah referenced him. So number two, we see here the name Jehovah Jireh. Now, forgive me on some of these names if I do not pronounce them correctly, and I don't claim to be an expert in speaking in Hebrew. And these are some hard names sometimes to pronounce. I will do the best I can, but I probably will mess them up. And there may be somebody that's very studied in Hebrew out there on the live feed laughing at me, but I'm going to do the best I can. But Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And it's a name used when praying for God to provide a need in one's life. It should be used when you are praying a prayer of supplication. You should approach the Lord by calling him Jehovah Jireh. That name evokes in God the idea that he is the provider. How many of you ever go to the Lord with needs in your life? How many of you ever have a bill that you don't know how to pay? You go to the Lord, God, I need help. You're praying and you need to access that part of God's heart, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. It's a name he responds to. Number three, Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner. This name was only used once in the Bible. It means the Lord is our banner. The name was only used once in the Bible. It was used when Moses defeated the Amalekites and was a name that they used to praise God for the victory. And shows that God brings victory when we are in his will. Now, this name should be used in your prayer life to praise God for the victories that he has wrought in our life. We use that name to call upon him when we have received victory in his will. Number four, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correct, but how many of you get the idea? Say, I get it. It means the Lord our righteousness. Now, this name shows forth his glory as the one that saves us and makes us righteous through his grace and mercy. Now, this name showed that Jesus would one day redeem us from our sins. So when they would say that name in the Hebrew tongue, before Jesus was ever became flesh and was born in a manger, every time they spoke that name, it was a foretelling that one day there would be this person of Christ who would redeem them from their sins. And when they prayed, they would pray for this Jehovah Tsidkenu. Now there's number five, Jehovah Rapha. This is a very important one here. Why does this one matter so much? Because it is the Lord of healing. Jehovah means Lord and Rapha means healing. So the Lord of healing. This is a name we refer to as we seek healing from God, who is the great physician. As y'all are very much aware, we've been praying for my dear friend, Mike Carringer. Mike Carringer's wife had a massive heart attack, 49 years old. Left her fighting literally for her life. Last Saturday morning, they had to amputate her leg. 49 years old, very athletic. Person who loved to get out and do things, but she had a blood clot in her leg that they couldn't get out due to the massive heart attack. Well, every time Mike sent out a text to all of us, I got a text in the morning and evening every day with an update from Mike. He would close with praying to Jehovah Rapha. Every text had that on there. Jehovah Rapha. What does that mean? The Lord who heals. How many of you have ever needed healing in your life? Maybe healing in your physical body. We are body, soul, and spirit. You know, sometimes a physical illness can infect our physical body and vice versa. The Bible says that the spirit of a man will bear his infirmities, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The Bible's telling us that as long as we keep our spirit healthy, we can carry the elements of our physical body. But sometimes we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, heal my spirit. Sometimes our spirit gets sick. And sometimes that sick spirit leads to a sick body. But we know that God is the great physician, and we appeal to him in our prayers. And when you pray, dear Jehovah Rapha, that healing part of God turns an ear to you. When you call him by that title, it turns that ear to you, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord of healing. I've called upon Jehovah Rapha many times in my life, and not just for me, but for people I love. And using that title in your prayer life will enhance your prayer life while praying for healing. Number six, Jehovah Shalom. Of course, Jehovah means Lord. Who knows what shalom means? That's a common Jewish word. It means peace. So the name interprets the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. This is the name we use when praying for peace in our lives, during times of war, times of conflict, stress, worry, or anxiety. If you're going through those things in your prayer life, you need to appeal to Jehovah Shalom in your prayer life. Number seven, Jehovah Mephalti, Jehovah Mephalti, which interprets the Lord, my deliverer. Now, this is a name that was often used by David, King David, as he sought God to help him in times of attack and distress. Often in the Psalms, when he's referring to the Lord, if you were reading that in the Hebrew Bible, you would see that name, Jehovah Mephalti, come up, the Lord, my deliverer. He was calling upon the Lord often to deliver him from people that were out to destroy him. And so he called upon that power of God to deliver him. Number eight, Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi. Now that means the Lord that feeds or shepherds. It's a name of praise for God that provides and leads his child. It is to be used at times when we are seeking direction and need him to provide for us. Listen, we don't always have to call for Surrey to get us out of a mess. Amen? How many of you ever got lost while using Surrey? How many of you have ever put something in and you followed it to the letter and you realized Surrey heard you wrong, took you to the wrong place? You come pulling in. This isn't where I thought I was going. But that's what she heard, you know. Listen, we have something greater to guide us, and that is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord that feeds or shepherds. It's that when we are seeking direction and need him to lead us and provide for us. And often we find that need in our life and we pray for it. Number nine, Jehovah Majin. Majin. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing it. It means the Lord is my shield and protector. The Lord is my shield and protector. Of course, this is a name that we use in our prayer life for praising God for his hand of protection. It is to be used in your prayer life when you're afraid or feel threatened and or attacked in your life. You appeal to Jehovah Magen. Number 10, Jehovah Emkadesh. Jehovah Emkadesh, which means the Lord who sanctifies you. And it's a name that shows his power as the one that changes us and cleanses us, one that makes us a new creature. It's a name of praise for him being the redeemer of our soul and life. Number 11, there is Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema, which interprets the Lord is there. This name, very interesting here, this name was used in a vision to Ezekiel when the Jews were in Babylonian captivity. And it appears at about the 25-year mark of their captivity. But in this vision, this name was used, and it showed to Ezekiel that God was always there and that he would never, ever forsake them. And that is, this is a name that we should use when we feel alone or just simply long or need to feel the presence of Christ. We need to appeal to Jehovah Shammah to feel him, that he's near. He's not gone anywhere. He's near. And this was given to give peace to Ezekiel, to help comfort him when they were, of course, no doubt feeling forsaken, feeling that they had been left there. And it's a beautiful story, but that name comes up, Jehovah Shammah. Tell him we said hi.
It was me.
Huh?
I'm using my phone to write notes, and I was calling her.
So you called your mom. Oh, I'm glad. I noticed she silenced it pretty quick. Ross. Number 12. The name El, E-L. The name El, an important word. What does the name El mean? It means it is the root word for God in the Hebrew language. The root word for God. Now, the root word will get built upon, and you'll see that in the following names. We've just wrapped up the Jehovah line of names, and they're important names. Those deal with Jesus. But we see El, the root word for God, and is used as a prefix for attributes for God the Father, as used in the following names for God. So we see here, point number 13, the name Elohim. 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 And that means the Supreme One, or it might even mean the Mighty One. The Supreme One or Mighty One. And it's a name that praises God as the most powerful being of all beings. A name of praise in our prayers. When we use this name as we reference God, we are saying that we are talking to and acknowledging that you are above all that exists. You are the greatest of the great. You are the most supreme of the supreme. There is no one above you. And that name, Elohim, is a name that the Jews would use to denote their awe of the greatness of God. Now, the name Elohim, Elohim, means faithful God. Faithful God. This name praises God for the fact that he always keeps his promises and that he can be relied on. Isn't it great to know that when we see a promise from God in the Bible, he is the faithful one? He's the faithful one. Not everybody keeps their word, but God always keeps his word. Everything he's promised you, he is the Elohim. He's the faithful God. He can be relied on. Number 15, El Roi. And it means God who sees me. God who sees me. A name that was used by Hagar. We see it come up in the story of Hagar. She used that name for God. If you remember the story, it's a sad story of where Abraham had a lapse of faith in Sarah. They decided to take the matters into their own hand. By the way, that's why we're dealing with all these problems in the Middle East to this very day. And we remember how she became pregnant with a child, but it wasn't the promised one. This was their solution, not God's solution. But nonetheless, what was the name before? The faithful God. God always keeps his promises. God had told that Abraham, your children will be a mighty nation. Your son will be the leader of a mighty nation. Well, when they saw that Hagar was pregnant, they banished her. She went into the wilderness with her little son Ishmael, where she went as far as she could go. The water ran out, the food ran out, and she was in the middle of nowhere, alone. The Bible says she placed the little boy under some bushes and went a far way away where she couldn't hear him cry. And there she collapsed, waiting to die, waiting on her son to die. And she cries out to the Lord. And she cried out to El Roi, the God who sees me. God, I know that you see me and you see what's going on here and you see where I'm at. And it was a name that she used to pull on that string of God. And God heard her, the Bible says. And God promised her that he was going to see her through. And he did bless her son as he had promised, because he always keeps his promise. He's the faithful God. And we see Ishmael became the father of what became later the Arab nations. And God kept his word to her. God saw her crying there in the wilderness. It's a beautiful name with a beautiful story behind it. Number 16, El Salai, which interprets, God is my rock, or God is my strength. A name used by David in a psalm. He wrote praising God for the help he was during the attacks by his enemies. Let's bow for a word of prayer tonight. We'll pick up here next week and explore more of these names. But I hope you'll work to commit these the best you can to memory, start incorporating them into your prayer life. Thinking of your specific need for God or from God and what name applies, or thinking about your specific praise feeling. You ever just have something specific and you want to praise God for it? Sometimes these names will be more specific than the generic names that we often use in our prayer life. I hope that you'll learn something in all this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I know that I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? I need Jesus in my heart. Amen. Dear Father, we've had a good time studying your word tonight. Just learning things. Not trying to be flamboyant. Just giving raw information here. But it's stuff that can help us. I pray that our people will use it as they draw nearer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Dave, take it over, buddy.